Good morning. Before we get started this morning, if you don't have a cup that has the communion in it, you can step to the back or raise your hand and someone can get that for you at this time. I've entitled this morning's talk, Great Confidence in Choices. I'm reminded of one of the choices early in my life when I chose to ask Marie to marry me. The time period of waiting for that marriage. And as it came closer, when I first seen her in her wedding dress, it hit me at that point like a ton of bricks. And what hit me was that I'd made the right choice. When I seen her, the smile that she had, all of those things, that the confidence that she gives me, and all those things, that was very overwhelming at that time. And I was very confident and very thankful that I chose her at that point. And that was just one of those times where I had great confidence in my choice. Another time that was unforgettable to me, a great choice, was when I was a child, a young boy, and I chose to become a Christian the day I was baptized. I knew the truth. I'd been taught the truth. And I felt that I understood the truth. But that particular day, as the invitation song was being sang, I started crying. And I just realized at that point that you know, there was sin in my life and that I needed to be baptized. And that was a confidence that I had at that point that I wasn't turning back from. This was something that I was going to do. That's what reminds me of this. We sang the song this morning, 227. Alas, did my Savior bleed? I want to talk about that for just a few moments. Alas, that word, we sing that, but do we pay attention to the meaning? Listen to this. It's an expression of sadness or disappointment, especially when there is no hope that a situation will change. How fitting. That's a word that we see in the Old Testament a few times. It's so fitting. We have no other way out there. So I'm going to read through this song. It's more of a poem to me. I'd like to read through that again this morning. If you would, open your songbooks back up to 227 and read along with me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for the sin that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolves my heart in thankfulness and melts my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. This all that I can do. And then the chorus, which really moves me. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. If you would, take your Bibles and let's turn over to Luke chapter 9, for just a moment. As we remember Christ today, what is it that he would have us to remember? Chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Then he said to them all, if any of you wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, that the one that of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until he sees the kingdom of God. Here we see, to follow Christ, we have to truly deny ourselves. To be a true disciple, we put ourselves, we die to this life. You know, the cross was the most painful and humiliating way of execution. And that's what Christ suffered for us. And he tells us that we must do this daily. We must live for him and not for this world. He says, what do you have if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? As well as being ashamed of Christ or to denying his truth is the same as unbelief. So as we live our lives, we need to make sure that we are not denying him. We are living for his truth. We are so much not like this world. You know, as the world might read and see these scriptures, it's so far beyond their concept that Christ would live a life and die for a man, for a worm, as the song says. He does not simply call for us to believe in him, but he also calls for us to turn our lives over to him. He is our example. Go over to Luke chapter 14 for just a moment. In verses 25 and 27. He says, now a great crowd were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, another thought here of denying self, denying worldly thoughts, serving others. The example that Christ has given unto us is such a great thing. We need to remember this daily as we go through this life. So as we gather around the table this morning to partake of these emblems, as we reflect upon the things that we've been doing in our lives and the changes we need to make, we need to remember how we should live. If you would, bow with me in prayer before we partake of the bread. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, honoring you as our God and our King. We pray, Lord, as we partake of this bread, which represents the body of Christ, as it was broken upon the cross, so willingly there he laid down his life, and how that you allowed him to do so in your perfect plan of salvation. We pray, Lord, that we partake in a well-pleasing manner, that we will remember this daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.